Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody. How's your week been? Great. Who's got plans for tomorrow? What you got going, Dave?
Opening day of dove season.
Opening day of dove season. Okay. All right. Are you going to be out all day long or just...
Depends on how good I shoot.
Okay. All right. Okay. Anybody else? Yes, Wyatt. Parade, where at?
Hey, the Liberty Parade.
Oh, okay, cool. All right. Anybody else? Who said rest? Okay, rest. All right. All right. Well, we have been talking about what this year?
Seeker.
Seeker, okay. Who can give me, before we begin today's message, what has been our definition or go-to phrase for being a seeker? Don't feel bad. There hasn't really been one. Okay. But we kind of have it in our heads what it means to be a seeker. Okay. People that are seeking, whether we're someone that's the first time seeking Christ, you know, just trying to get to know a little bit about him, or whether we're more mature Christians, or even, you know, a seasoned Christian, however you want to put that, seeking how we can better serve him, better get to know him. We are all seekers, no matter where we are in life. Okay, no matter how long we've been a Christian, whether it's been just a few days, or whether we are seasoned, like some of us. Okay, or more mature, like some of you, you know, age-wise. Okay, we are seekers. And today, or the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at in our seeking about being a follower and what that truly means of being a follower of Christ. So today we're looking at what I'm calling the invitation. If you want to turn your Bibles to Matthew 4, verses 17 through 22, we'll be looking at that in just a moment. As we're looking at the invitation. Now, we've all received them, invitations, okay? Invitations to a certain event or a certain type of activity. We've been invited to weddings, graduation celebrations, because there is a difference. Sometimes you get invited to the graduation and not necessarily the graduation celebration, or the graduation celebration, not really the graduation. Sometimes we get invited to the wedding reception, not necessarily the wedding, because of just the space and everything where the wedding is. But we've all been invited to different things. Birthday celebrations. Karen, when's your birthday? July 1st, next year I inspected an invite. We get invited by friends to go out for supper or just to go someplace and simply have some fun. So, right, everybody's been invited to at least one thing in their life. Okay, we understand that. Grandparents, any grandparents in here today? Any great-grandparents in here today? Any great-great-grandparents in here today? Any great-great-great-grandparents in here today? Okay. All right, so we've been invited to, you know, our grandchildren's, our children's activities at school events, sporting events, any event, especially for the grandparents, any event that their grandchildren are in, seems like we want to be part of it when we're able to. We've been invited to it, to take part in it. Now, there are times when we get invited by somebody simply by calling us, okay? They call us up on the phone, or nowadays it's text, okay? You want to go to Painter for pizza tonight. You want to go here to do this tonight, or whatever. All right, so sometimes we get invited by the phone calls or the text messages. Sometimes there's that more formal invite that we get in the mail. Usually, now maybe not all the time, but usually we get a formal invite, like if it's somebody's wedding or something like that. We view that invitation. We look at it. And then we sometimes think, okay, got invited to this wedding. Now, ladies, correct me if I'm wrong, oftentimes it seems ladies more than men, especially if it's somebody close, you know, a close relative for a wedding, what am I going to wear? What new dress am I going to go out and get? I got to make an appointment for early in the morning to go get my hair done. Okay? Got to get my hair all shaped up and everything, okay? But we start looking at what we're going to wear, you know, just what gift. Where are they registered? You know, what gift are we going to get them? And sometimes we start focusing on that. Now, we still go to the wedding. We still go to the rehearsal. Not the rehearsal, excuse me. The reception. But a lot of times we miss out on what the invitation actually says. Now, it gives the date. Unless if Terry's getting one, somebody tells him the day after. Just kidding, buddy. But it says the date. It says the time. It says we're at. Okay, we're focusing on that. But what are they actually asking you to do? Not bring a gift. Don't say that. We already talked about that.
Celebrate.
They're asking you, they're inviting you to come celebrate with us. In other words, they're inviting you to come and do what? Have some fun with them. Enjoy the celebration. But many times it's not that we don't understand it, but sometimes we don't really look at what they're actually inviting us to. They're inviting us to participate with them in their joy, in their happiness. Now, there's always the jokester, okay, who, you know, at the wedding, they tell, you know, you still got time to back out, or something like that, whatever, and that's what, we really shouldn't be doing that, but there's always, you know, the little joking around, but when we truly think about it, that's exactly what the people are doing. They are inviting us to be joyful with them. They're inviting us to take part in something with them. So whether it be a birthday party, a graduation, to some kind of event, an invitation to a work day at a school or at a church or whatever, it's an invite asking us to be part of what they are doing. And when we truly look at it like that, for me, it takes on a little bit different situation or a little bit different look. I'm not just being invited to a party, but I'm being invited to be joyful with somebody. To enjoy looking at something the way they look at it. Have you ever gone someplace or been invited someplace and you went and it was just one of those off days? You know, you're just having a bad day. You didn't really want to be there. Let's be honest. We've all had those times. Okay? And we have to understand that even in those times, we've been invited to do something or take part with somebody. They may not even know that we're having a bad day. But we've been invited to participate with them in sharing the way they're viewing that celebration. They're looking at it as their wedding, their birthday, or whatever. Sometimes, or some people hear the call of different things in their life. Okay, for instance, sometimes people hear the call of the water. So they go and they spend their life on the water. They go on ships. Okay, whether they're sea captains or whatever, some join the Navy. Right, Terry? You heard the call of the water and you went and joined the Navy, right?
No, I heard the call of my girlfriend
when you get married. We can erase that from the tape, but anyway. All right. So, but we hear different things of our life. In other words, some people have heard the water as an invite to them. Okay? As the water was calling them to enjoy life, or enjoy different things. My point is simply this. We seek those things that invite us to feel good. We seek things that invite us to feel good. We like those things that invite us and the things that make us feel good. Okay? Things make us, different events in life make us feel fulfilled. They may help us to feel satisfied. If we would want the deepest satisfaction that the heart can experience, with the ear of our soul, we need to hear the call of Christ. The invitation of Christ. And respond to that invitation with faithfulness to His love and His grace in our lives. Now, we've been talking about what it is as us as believers in answering that call to be a seeker, that call to be a follower. So that's the way we're approaching it. It's a little bit different aspect for those that aren't followers, but I'm looking at it today mostly as those of us who have accepted Christ as our Savior, what is the invite after that call? What is the invite once we have come to Christ? We've already come to Him for salvation. What is the invite after that? We've already met Him. We've already accepted His grace, received His mercy, been forgiven of our sins. But what is the invite for us as believers now? If you would, please stand with me as we read together Matthew 4, verses 17 through 22. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We thank you for this day that you've given to us. We thank you for the many different ways you touch our lives. Many times we don't even necessarily even know it, just the way you protected us at different times. We thank you for always, for the promise that you will always be with us. Whether we're having a good day, a bad day, or an indifferent day, you have promised to be there, and you always keep your promises. Lord, we ask you now, in knowing that you are here with us in this worship service today, that we would truly feel your presence. You would just touch each and every one of us in the way you want to touch us, the way you want to just guide us and direct us in this message, the way you want us as individuals to hear it and as a church family to hear it. We ask you once again to open our eyes, our ears, and especially our hearts to the invite that you have for us. We pray this together. Amen. As believers, we have the promise of Christ's invitation. The promise of Christ's invitation. Think about this for just a moment. The call of the sea, okay? If you felt the sea was calling you to do your living out on the sea, you could probably understand that when I say the call of the sea gives you or would give you excitement. Anybody ever watch the fishing shows like the Northern Catch and stuff, different things about, you know, the life of a fisherman? I would be getting sick on those ships, okay? But a lot of those guys on it, they absolutely love it. I don't get it. I'm glad they do it because, we like to eat fish. But it produces or promises excitement. The call of the wild for Dave and Robin, I was going to get it. For the call of the wild for Dave and Robin, for all those that hunt, promises what? Food. Exactly. Game. You know, that's what a lot of people call it. The promise is game. The call of the field for the farmer produces fruit. The call of the water. Not just the ocean, but, you know, like those that go out, the fishermen and there. But even those of us that, you know, the once every 5 years fishermen. Okay, the one that just wants to be around the water. Lori and I love to go to the beach. We've gone fishing a couple times down in Florida, but we always got fish. So the call of the water promises fish. The call of the Lord promises souls for our rewards. When we go fishing, or when a person goes fishing, what do you do? What do you use? Bait. Use a pole, throw it out there, and everything like that, right? What is your reward? Hopefully. Fish. Get fish. There's something for you for it. Jesus says there in verse 19, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. He says, I will make you fishers of men. In other words, I will take your techniques, your methods, the things that you've learned in life, your experiences in life, those things that thrill you, those things that kind of don't necessarily thrill you, and I will help you catch people. I will help you win people to me so that you can experience the greatest, one of the greatest joys that life brings. Winning somebody to Christ. Showing somebody what it means for Christ and what he did for us on the cross. Like I said, of those that fish, we know the technique. Okay, we throw the line out in the water. Anybody use a bobber still? Do you still use a bobber? Okay, all right. So we may sit there. Now, depending on where you're fishing, how active the fish are, sometimes we throw our line in the water and we're watching the end of that pole or watching our bobber, and sometimes we might go to sleep before that thing actually moves. Okay? Then there's those times that as soon as you throw it in, I've never had this happen. You instantly got a hit. And does what? You're what? You're excited. Whether you've been, waiting there for 2 hours because you haven't changed your bait and it's not there any longer. Okay? Or as soon as you throw it in there, you get the, and you reel it in, you just know that's a 15-pounder coming in. All right? No matter how it feels, that's the hugest fish that you're ever going to have. And sometimes it's pretty decent. Sometimes it's something like that. But you were excited the fact that you caught something. Even if you had to put it back in or whatever, you were excited that you caught something. Ever been fishing and you didn't catch anything? Okay? You know what? The same thing's going to happen sometimes when we're fishing for men. There'll be times when nobody responds to us. But that it stop you from going fishing, just because you didn't catch something. An actual fish I'm talking about now. So it shouldn't stop us when somebody that we're trying to win to Christ maybe doesn't necessarily respond on our timing. But the point here is that the call of the Lord promises, he promises souls as our reward. Winning people to Christ is a blessing. It's a fulfillment. The joy and delight of helping someone experience the love, mercy, and grace of God are excelled by no other thrill and excitement. We have any thrill seekers? Nobody here? What do you like to do for thrill seeking there, Don? Be careful.
I like iron roller coasters.
You like iron roller coasters? Okay. The ones that go upside down? Okay. The loop-de-loop, loop-loop-loop-loop, okay? All right? No matter what we think thrills us, when we get to take part in helping someone come to Christ, no matter if it's the first time we've been able to do it, or if it's the 100th time or whatever, it does something to us. Now, we may not even be necessarily the one that actually speaks the words to them, but we know that something that we did, we help support a missionary. And we hear a report of what they're doing in whatever or wherever they're at. We know that we support our church and our Sunday school teachers led somebody to know Christ. Whatever part we took part in helping or leading that person to Christ, it should anyway thrill us. It should excite us to know that we had something to do with showing somebody Christ. I'm not saying we save them. We don't do it. God calls them, I get that. But when we have the opportunity to show somebody Christ's love and what he's done for us, and they respond positively, it helps us or it blesses us. There is no greater service you can give a person than to lead them to salvation in Christ Jesus. Now, there's a lot of different ways that we're called to serve people. You know, sometimes we're called the servant in a soup kitchen or a soup line or whatever. Sometimes we're to help somebody who's having a problem at Walmart with their credit card or something like that, and they need help to for somebody to pay for because they just don't have it on them, you know, just some basic stuff or whatever. Whatever it is, there's a lot of different ways to serve people and to help people. But there's no greater service that we can give a person than to lead them to salvation in Christ Jesus. There's just no greater service that can be done. Which takes us to the invitation explained and applied. We have all been invited. We've all been invited to take part in leading people to Christ. Whether you're 10 years old and have come to know Christ as your Savior, or whether if you're 110 years old. Grandma Jean's not 110 yet. Okay. No matter what our age is, we have all been invited to take part in leading people to Christ. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? What is the invitation? What are we supposed to do? Am I supposed to do the same thing that Gerald does? Am I supposed to do the same thing that so-and-so does, or what? Our Lord is extending an invitation for people to invest themselves in that which is of the present and eternal significance. Being a true follower of Christ means more than just coming to church when the church doors are open or certain worship. Now, we need to be here. But there's more to it than just that. If we are going to be true followers of Christ, we must accept his attitudes. We must accept his attitudes. Philippians 2, verses 3 through 5 says this: let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's kind of like that golden rule. Treat others how you want to be treated. How Christ has called us to put others first. You ever hear the song or the acronym or whatever, Y-O-U for you, what it means? Or joy, excuse me, I got my words mixed up. Joy. Jesus, others, and you. It helps I get the right one, doesn't it, Carol? Sorry. We must accept Christ's attitudes as our attitudes. In other words, the thing that his attitudes have to come before ours. His attitude and how he views people has to take precedence. And sometimes even wipe out what our attitudes may be towards somebody. We are to take on his way of looking at people. His values have to become our values. Accepting the mind of Jesus Christ as our viewpoint is repentance in positive terms. In other words, when we truly put Christ's ambitions over ours, or we adopt his ambitions, or we take on his viewpoints of things and look at people the way he truly sees them, and we begin to look at them the same way, our repentance, our salvation is shown in that. Our faith grows when we do that. When we do that, that is our faith in action. When we let Christ, or when we put on his attributes, his feelings. If we are going to be true followers of Jesus, we must identify with the ambitions of Christ. So let me ask you this. Everybody has ambitions in life, right? We've got different ambitions, things that we would like to do someday. Or things that we know we need to do, or whatever. We have ambitions in life. Okay, does anybody in here have the ambition to one day go climb Mount Everest? Wyatt, did you raise your hand? No, okay. Okay, so think for a second what your ambitions in life might be. You know, even if you're whatever age, we still have ambitions. Now ask yourself this question. What are the ambitions of Christ that we see, especially in his word, in the Gospels? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. What do we see were the ambitions of Christ during his earthly ministry? Now, you don't have to answer them out loud, but just think for a minute. When you look back at the parables, at the stories and that, what do we see were Christ's ambitions during his earthly ministry? Well, in looking at this and asking myself that question, the first thing I came up with, to do the will of God in all things. To do the will of God in all things. You say, well, he was Christ. Of course he had that. But now let's think a minute. What was Jesus' prayer in Gethsemane? If your will be done, exactly. Remember he said that if it's possible, can I get rid of this thing? But if it's, you know, I want to do your will. So that means if we're going to take on that ambition of Christ, that means we're probably going to have some things that we're going to have to say, Lord, there's things I would like to do, but if it's not your will, so be it. And sometimes, to say the least, that's tough. That's tough. Doesn't mean it can't be done. We can never use the excuse to say, well, there's just no way I can, because Christ will not call us to do anything that we cannot do. I truly believe that. But we are called to put on his ambition. That very first thing is to do the will of God in all things. Sometimes that may mean we have to change our career or whatever it may be. The second attitude of Christ was to serve the needs of others. God first, and then to serve the needs of others. People have gotten mad at me when I said this, and Lori understands when I say this, that I love God before my wife. You have to love God before anybody. Or you cannot truly love that person the way we are called to love them. If God is not first on our love list, we cannot truly love each other the way that we are called from God to love one another. He has to be first. And to make known the gospel of Jesus Christ. You look back and Jesus was really concerned about others coming to know God, don't get me wrong, and the love of God, but to know that they would know God in all things, to serve others. And of course, he talked about God's love and salvation. That, of course, is what Jesus died for, so that everyone would understand how much God loves us by sending his own son to die for us. If we want to follow Jesus, we must adopt his affections. We must adopt his affections. What does it mean to adopt? What'd you say? I'm sorry?
Take on.
Take on. Good one. I came up with this. To make ours. Lori adopted Gabby. She made her her daughter. I adopted my son. I made him my son. The Bible tells us that we are what? We are adopted by Christ. He has made us his. If we want to follow Jesus, we have to adopt his affections. In other words, we have to take on his affections. What did Jesus love? God, people. He loved God supremely. He loved others sacrificially. Even to the point of his sacrificial death. So we are called what? To love God with 100% of ourselves, him supremely, and we are to love others, and that means sometimes we're going to have to make sacrifices to reach them. It means we're not always going to get our way. We're not always going to get the things that we want to go do or whatever. But when we put God first, that's how we truly love the other person, even the unbeliever. Because it's so tempting, especially in our society today, to simply look at the unbeliever and criticize. But God has called us to do what? Look at them as being lost people. Because that's exactly what they are. If we want to follow Jesus, we must imitate his actions. We must imitate his actions. How does Christ see that person on the street corner? So often anymore, especially, you know, we become almost null to it. You know, we say, okay, well, they're just out to, you know, they're just out to scam somebody or whatever. But I've done that myself. I've been truly, you know, at different times in my life trying to look at it, like, how would Jesus actually see them? Would they truly be concerned about it with a scam or whatever? Or would he simply try to look and see what the person may actually be going through and be concerned for them? People will begin to see Jesus in us only after we think as he thinks, love as he loved, and redirect our lives according to his purpose to reach out to people. The gracious invitation is extended. It's extended. There's some verses there that I'm going to ask you to look up. But he extended an invitation specifically to Philip to follow him. Now, he called all of his disciples. Each one was done a little bit different. But he said the certain ones, or different ones, especially those words, follow me. He said to Philip in John 1, verse 43, he talked to Peter, Andrew, James, and John and told them what in our scripture verse today. Follow me and I will what? Make you fishers of men. We don't know sometimes in reading the stories, we don't know sometimes the exact chronology and how it took place. There's a lot of people that believe that that was actually the second time that Peter and Andrew actually met Jesus. Maybe even the third time for Andrew. But it doesn't matter. The fact is that Jesus was calling them to follow him. To Matthew, the tax collector. What was Matthew? As I just said, a tax collector. What did that mean? It meant his own nation hated him. His own family wanted nothing to do with him because he was a tax collector. But yet Jesus did what? Told him, follow me. Matthew gave up a comfortable job, but he found destiny. Matthew lost a good income, but he found honor. Matthew lost a comfortable security, but he found an adventure he never could have imagined. The gracious invitation has been extended to everyone, each and every one of us. There may be things that we're called to give up. Maybe it may be that comfortable part of life, but we may change somebody's destiny. We may be called to give up some different things about our income through offerings or whatever. But we're going to help people come to know Christ. We may give up our life security as the way we know it here on earth. But we're going to get an adventure in Christ and bringing people to Christ that we never imagined could happen. One of my favorite movies is Cars. Anybody remember that? Okay. I know, it's just a movie, it's just an animated movie, but I like that movie. But one of the songs in the movie is Life is a Highway. Now, all you older people really should know that one. That was back in the 60s when it was originally done. You forgot. Okay. Anyway, it was all, and then Rascal Flatts did it for the movie. And in the lyrics of the song are these words: life is a highway, I want to ride it all night long. Now, who just tried to sing that as I was saying it? Okay. We understand that life is full of adventure. It has ups and downs. It has good days and bad days. And then we have those excellent days. But we are invited by Christ to ride this highway of life and look at it from Christ's perspective. Look at it through Christ's mindset. To come and love an adventure of excitement in leading people to Christ. That's what we have been invited by Christ to do. We each have different callings, different jobs to do in this invitation. But we have been promised blessings, joy, and peace. We know it will be tough at times. Serving Christ does not mean that we miss out on heartache or sorrow or being disappointed by somebody or even us disappointing somebody else or even God himself. But it is an invitation to experience Christ walking right along with us as we reach out to those that we've been called to reach out to. To experience what it means to truly put our mindset to Christ's mindset. To match them up together, to make our mindset the same as Christ. And witness people coming to Christ and their lives changing. But it requires us to have a different perspective. No longer about us. No longer about what we desire. A focus on the things that we desire. Now, I'm not saying we're not ever going to get things to do things we like to do. That's not what I'm saying. But the thing is that sometimes we may not get to do things we want to do. And when we put Christ first, we're going to say, okay, I get it. Don't really like it today, but hey, okay, I'm still going to do it. And we are going to be blessed with the results. Because Jesus said there, follow me and maybe you'll get somebody. Follow me and there might be someone here that I might have you help lead to me. No, that's not what Jesus said there. What did he tell Peter and Andrew and the other ones? Come follow me, I will make you fishers of men. Now, if you're a fisherman and you're never getting anything, are you going to go back eventually? Are you eventually going to give up fishing? Right. But Jesus is saying there, I will make you fishers of men. I will help you win people to Christ. Where are you with Christ on this road of adventure of leading people to him? Have you even begun the trip? You know, some people have accepted Christ, but they're sitting on the racetrack or on the drag strip, Don. The light's green. The car's in gear. But nobody's pushing on the gas. There's a lot of people that are sitting like that. They claim to be ready, but when it comes to actually putting the pedal to the metal, if you want to put it like that, they're not going anywhere. Because they haven't put on Christ's mindset. They haven't made Christ the priority in reaching people for Christ a priority. Are you moving along and learning to see God, others, and then yourself the way Christ sees all these things? Matthew 28:19 says this, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Have you accepted the invitation? Have you accepted the invitation to go and be a fisherman for Christ? To go and win people to Christ. Have you accepted the invitation to get on an adventure with Christ and just feel the peace, the joy, the blessings of winning people to know Christ as their Savior? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, again, we do praise you and we do thank you. We thank you for so many different things. We especially thank you for what you've done for us on the cross. Dying and rising again to be our living Lord, our living Savior. To know that one day you are going to return. To know that in our salvation we have the promise of life eternal with you. We thank you for that. We praise you for that. We thank you that no matter where we are in life, you are with us. And knowing that you are with us, we ask you to speak to us. Help us to be truthful with one another and with ourselves. Where am I? Am I just on the banks getting ready to throw my pole in the water? Am I just on the drag strip waiting to press on the gas? Where am I? Help us to put on your characteristics, your attitudes, your vision, and win people to know you. We pray this together. Amen.